Very truthful. His truth is marching on. Regardless of what we try to do, his truth continues to march on. The title of the message today is called The Walking. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 6 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, it'll be on the chair rack in front of you on page 891, John chapter 6 called The Walking. If you weren't with us last week, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. And what a powerful, powerful message that is to us that God provides, and he provides over an abundance. And I want you to just think about that. Maybe as you think about your Thanksgiving meal, some of you might be hosting some individuals this year and or going to a place where there's going to be 30 people, and you think of the preparation, you think of the sweat, you think of the determination. Now, some of you, you have no problems making meals for 30 people. That's no big deal. Some of you, you're already sweating beads when I tell you, hey, you got to provide, and you're going to have a whole bunch of people. You're like, I know, don't tell me, that's terrible. Some of you are like, let's go 40. It's no big deal, you know. Some of you have that gift. But think of the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, this isn't a big deal. Here you go. And then 12 baskets were left over. This next story goes right after the feeding. They've been on the mountainside, and Jesus provides this great feeding, and now they are on a boat, and they cross the sea to Capernaum. I believe this. I believe, not because of what I'm going to say, but because of what is in the scripture and when we come out, there's going to be some individuals here today that are just encouraged and touched by God's word. And so maybe that's you today because of what Jesus does in the scripture and how he does it continually in our lives. So if you join me in looking at John chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 16. I'm going to go through verse 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. The first thing I want you to see is this. The disciples were in a boat in the dark on the sea. Now, I want you to understand a little bit about what they were facing. So I have a picture. Give me the picture of the actual sea, if you would, please, Bennett. This is the picture of the actual sea. Now, if you look at this, it's really not all that big. The next picture that I have is going to kind of show you a little bit of about the Sea of Galilee. It's 13 miles long, and at the widest, it's about 8 miles wide. So 64 square miles is how big this sea is, roughly the size of Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know if you've been to Washington, D.C. or not. I have. And when you go to Washington, D.C., you think, well, I'll just go from the Washington Monument, and then I'll just go to the White House, and then I'll go to Arlington, and then it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much spread out. But if you've been to Washington, D.C., you're like, whoa, there's quite a bit of landscape. One of those little rider things. I've seen what are those little rider things called? Segway? There we go. Thank you. Jump on the Segway. Have you been on one of those?
No, sir.
We should get you one of those, Dawson. Would you like one for Christmas? All right. If anybody has a Segway handy, Dawson wants a Segway for Christmas. They were probably at the north end of the sea, and it's probably not more than four miles wide up there of where they were at. The disciples were in the boat in the midst of the sea. Here's great news for you. The disciples were together, but Jesus was not with them. they were in the boat, all of them together. Several of these were fishermen, so they knew the ropes of the sea. Even this sea. Sometimes when you get in different waters, there's a different current that happens. Being in a lake, being on the ocean, two different things. I'm not a seaman, but I'm assuming that's probably very true. There's just different how it responds. The different winds coming down. It's just different. But here's a point that I want to make to all of us. They were all together in the boat. Do you see anyone that was outside the boat at that point in time? I don't see it. It says this, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat. They're all in the boat together. Stick together with Christian brothers and sisters. Stay in a familiar surrounding. They were in the boat. They knew the sea. They weren't in a weird place. When it's dark, I encourage you to stay together. Hear me in this. I want you to kind of capture what was happening here. It was dark. They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have big strobe lights. They didn't have these big cannons. One time I had this 10,000 candle power lumen flashlight. That was a sweet flashlight. I didn't use it much, but wow. Some of you have some of those beams that you're like, they didn't have that. It was dark, but they were together. Maybe they had a torch, but think about trying to keep a torch lit in the midst of the storm in which they were. There wasn't much light. And they probably also didn't have their government-issued life jacket. Are you going through a dark time? If you're going through a dark time, stick with a Christian brother or sister. Sometimes when we go through that low time, the natural thought is to withdraw. And so we find ourselves staying on the shore because we sure don't want to go out on the lake because there could be things that happen out there. And so we withdraw. You have to stick with a Christian brother or sister. Be careful not to withdraw. Trust in a friend. Or let me switch it around for just a moment. Maybe you're in a great place right now. Maybe you are on top of the world. Maybe God's got you in a wonderful place. Do you think maybe there's somebody else that needs your care and your concern? Maybe God's even bringing that person to your mind right now and you're like, you know what? They seem to got out of the boat. Why did they get out of the boat? Come back in the boat. Here, jump back in the boat with me. And maybe they don't really want to get back in the boat. So here's what you do. You take your boat to them. You just paddle over to them. Obviously, you're not going to do that, but you go near them. Why? Because this is a great spiritual and scriptural reference. They went down to the sea, and they were together. Maybe send a note. Maybe meet for coffee. Don't pry. Hey, I see you jumped out of the boat. What are you doing? No, because in those moments, that's not the time. In those moments, you just come alongside and say, you know what? I'm just here for you. The disciples were together. There was an elderly widow. And she couldn't get around in her activities very well, but she was eager to serve Christ. She prayed about this, and she realized that she could be a blessing to others by playing the piano. Not everybody can do that. How many of you play the piano? The next day, she placed a small ad in the Oakland Tribune. This is what it said. Pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. Obviously, several years ago, not just now. Now you can go on YouTube or whatever and find it. The notice included the number to dial, and when people called, she would ask, "What hymn would you like to hear?" Within a few months, her playing had brought cheer to several hundred people. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them. Somehow, she brought her boat to somebody else and said, "Here, let me play." And what encouragement it provided. She got into the boat with those people. As you know, a storm comes up. Number two, a storm comes up. Everything seems to be going okay. They, actually, there's two other gospel writers that write about this story as well. Matthew chapter 14, if you want to look in there, you can, and see some of the things that Matthew brings into the story. Mark chapter 6 also tells the story of Jesus walking on the water. And they were sent ahead by Jesus to the other side of the sea. That's told to us by Mark. We don't see that in John, but they're told to go on. And so here's these disciples. They were told to go on, and they're doing as they've been told. Go to the other side of the sea. And John tells us, though, that Jesus had not yet come. So there was an expectation that Jesus was going to come. He had not yet come, so, well, he's coming. We know he's coming. We know he's going to be here with us. And while they were waiting, here comes the storm. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, this is what Matthew records. The sea became rough. And it also says, beaten by the waves. Listen and watch, if you would, please, for just a moment. It's dark. The sea is rough. As I began thinking about this, I just thought of, it went from, we're just rowing along, to all this noise coming, and all this deafening noise. And can you imagine Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Thaddeus? Move that over here. Keep rowing on this side. Get a bucket over here. How many of you have spent much time on the lake or in the sea? How many of you would be kind of sea people? Okay, all right. You've possibly been in these situations. Many of us that haven't are like, oh. But imagine that. Play that again, please. They were just out on the sea. They were just going to what Jesus told them to do. And here comes this massive storm. Have you ever been out for a leisurely stroll and then all of a sudden the storm comes in? Manel and I were on a walk one time and the clouds were coming and, oh, we'll make it, we'll make it. We didn't make it, by the way. And there was a nice gentleman that said, here, come stand in my garage while it passes. And sure enough, it passed. But we just stood there waiting. And we were both thankful for that garage, weren't we? So we didn't have to get wet on that day. Starts to get scary, actually. It goes from a moment of being, hey, this is a nice little, we're out on the boat, fun little time, to this is nervous now. Storms come and go. Do you recall a time in your life where there was a storm that came and now that storm is gone? Now, if you're in a storm right now, you're wishing for that. But there are several in this room that you look back in your life, maybe even a week ago, maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago, Isn't it nice to be past that storm? Isn't it great how God brought you through that storm? Praise be to God. The sea becomes rough and a strong wind was blowing. And here's what happens. Number three, the disciples start rowing. What do the disciples do? They do what you're supposed to do. Let's row. All right, let's go. Matthew chapter 14 tells us it's a long way. John tells us that it's about 3 or 4 miles. How many of you have one of these things in your house? Anybody have one of these things? Go ahead. Na-na. Anybody have one of those in your house? Why would you have one of those rowing machines? I mean, seriously. I mean, unless you're going to be a person that's going to be rowing, I mean, why would you get one of those things? Guess what? Hey, Christmas is coming. Manel, would you like that for Christmas? This is a great spouse gift. Hey, guess what I bought for you? A rowing machine. Why would you have one of those? I don't know. But if you do, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But as we are looking at the text, we don't think about this, but think about this for just a moment. They're saying that they probably rode, in the Greek, it's 25 or 30 stadia. That doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm glad that our ESV people helped us and said 3 or 4 miles. I don't know that I've ever rode 3 or 4 miles. Now, some of them were fishermen, of course, and so maybe they had bulky strength, but 3 or 4 miles is a long ways. All right? That's a long ways to just keep rowing. From here down to the Southside Pizza Ranch and water would be how far you're going to row. 4.5 miles to McDonald's on Elkville Road that's about 4.5 miles away. So do you just think, after service, I've rented some boats and I'm going to let you all have that opportunity just to go row. But while you try to go to the Southside Pizza Ranch, what I'm going to do is I have a big fan that I'm going to put in front, and I'm going to try to blow against you, and you see how you're going to do in rowing, not just in rowing, but against the wind. Some of you are like, I'm not going to do that. But they all started rowing. How long was this rowing? We're not sure how long it was. It might have been the whole night. But from other passages, from the Matthew 14 passage, we see that it was during the fourth watch of the night. And the fourth watch of the night would have been from 3 to 6 a.m. So when did it become dark? When did the storm come up? How long they were rowing, 3 or 4 miles, we're not sure. But just rest assured in this. This would have been difficult. It was in the dark. They were out on the boat. And the storm was coming, and they were rowing for 3 or 4 miles. Had they been rowing since 9 p.m.? I don't know, but rowing from 9 p.m. to 3 in the morning, that's a long time. I wonder if you've felt like you've been rowing spiritually for 3 or 4 miles from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and you just wonder when it's going to be done. Some feel that the disciples weren't all that far from the shore. They might have been able to see the shore, maybe, but remember, it was dark out. But sometimes distances can kind of get perplexing and confused when you're in the middle of the night. I like this. The disciples did not give up. They continued to row. They did something. They kept going to where they had been told to go by Jesus. If you are in the middle of the sea and there are the storms going around you right now, keep rowing. Don't stop. Even when it hurts, even when you think, how am I going to get to the other side? Maybe, as a quote from a movie, just keep swimming was the quote. Just keep swimming. Just keep rowing. You keep going. You do not stop. Number 4, Jesus walked on the water. They were in the midst of their pain. Their muscles were aching. They may have been lost. Maybe they could see the shore. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they didn't know really where they were. Their legs, when you're rowing, you use your legs to push off on things. Their legs were screaming at them. And here comes Jesus. Matthew records they thought it was a ghost. They must have had some concept about ghosts. Now, that's something scary, to tell you the honest truth. We just went through a season of ghosts and goblins. And here they are on the sea. They can hardly see. They're cold. They're wet. They're tired. They can't hear. And here comes something towards them. Now, I want you to think back to the picture of the seas of the waves going, and there's Jesus walking on top of the water. I don't know how that happened exactly. How did they see Jesus? It was dark, probably something supernatural, but they could see something on the water. Where had Jesus been? Why wasn't Jesus in the boat? In Mark chapter 6, verse 46, you see that Jesus went up to pray. If you remember the picture from last week, he was up on the mountainside. He was on the mountain alone. He may have been up on the mountainside the whole night watching, waiting, till the right moment. Maybe for you that seems a little cruel. You're like, why don't you just stop the winds from even coming, Jesus? How God works sometimes. He gives us opportunity to work through it. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we need his help. I wondered this. This is wondering about the text. But had Jesus been praying for them? Was Jesus on the mountainside praying for them? Think of that power. I'm going to remind you, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Why didn't the wind just die down? We don't know, but Jesus walks to them and then talks. Imagine the scene. Guys working feverishly, loud with waves. Wind is strong. It's hard to hear. And then you hear Jesus' voice. Wait, I know that voice. I know that voice. That voice is a powerful voice. That voice is important to me. Now, Matthew, for some reason, John doesn't, but Matthew records then, what does Peter do? Peter says, hey, if Jesus can do that, I can do this as well. I'll just jump out of the boat. John didn't see that as an important part of the story. He shares, though, Jesus' words. And those are, it is I, do not be afraid. I wonder if in all the excitement, all the challenge, if the disciples missed it. I mean, Jesus walked on the water. I mean, he didn't walk on reeds underneath the water. He didn't have a water ski, or he wasn't on a knee board. He was walking on the water. That's a truthful statement. Jesus came to them. And let me remind you in this circumstances, Jesus comes to me, and Jesus comes to you. Even in the midst of the storm. And then Jesus says these words. Number 5, it is I, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. Why shouldn't they be afraid? Well, they were fishermen, so they were trying everything in their power to work against the storm. But this phrase, mentioned in several different versions, here, let me give you a couple of them. It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, be not afraid. Stop being afraid. Don't be afraid, Jesus replied. It is I. It's written in the imperative tense in Greek, which means don't go on being afraid. Don't go on being afraid. Stop the continuation. Let me confess to you, I get afraid at times. I'm not trying to appear as a wimp, and hope you don't see me that way, but there are temptations, struggles, frustrations, and an enemy that wants us to fear. He wants you to fear. Been fearful? Some of you don't have any fear in your life. You're like, no big deal. That's not where the enemy gets you at all. Strangely enough, there are some of you in the room that were very bold as young people, and then you've become fearful. How does that happen? The enemy got something in your life. Some of you are fearful this morning about something, maybe a physical health, maybe a spiritual issue, maybe a Thanksgiving. There's something that you're fearful about. Jesus says it here. Don't hear it from me, but please hear it from Jesus this morning. It is I. Do not be afraid. Maybe you're one that you just need to go get a piece of paper and you need to write it down. If you need to take something, you need to take an envelope and you need to put that in your dashboard and you just say, it is I, do not be afraid. And you just put quotations around knowing that Jesus is saying that for you. Maybe you need to put it on your mirror somewhere, type it up, and you just be reminded, it is I, do not be afraid. The pulpit commentator said this, in the darkest hour of men and churches, in the throes of persecution, in the furnace of temptation, on a million deathbeds, the same voice has been heard. I'm going to repeat that. In the darkest hour of men and churches, in the throes of persecution, in the furnace of temptation, on a million deathbeds, the same voice has been heard. Jesus saves you from your sins, period. And Jesus also delivers you from your fear. Number 6, they took him into the boat. Why don't you just stay out there and walk on the water for a little bit, Jesus? No, here's what John says. Then they were glad to take him into the boat. Come on, Jesus, come jump in with us. Matthew and Mark tells us that the wind stops when Jesus gets into the boat. John doesn't point that out. But this is what John does point out. John points out that immediately they were at the land they were going. In the confusion of the storm and the moment and the many hours, they didn't know how close they were to the shore. Maybe you don't know how close you are to the other side of your storm. Maybe you're like, and Jesus continues to urge you on and let you know he is there. Oh, the patience of our King. Maybe John was wanting us to know that no matter if the storm stops or not, Jesus is in the boat with us, and we should be encouraged by that. Maybe they would have known Psalm 107. Maybe they didn't, but let me read to you Psalm 107. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to the desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. Or maybe they looked back and thought about Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Thou framer of the light and dark, steer through the tempest thine own ark. Amid the howling wintry sea, we are in port if we have thee. There's a a song that was written by Benton, Kevin Stokes, and Tony Wood, sung by Scott Crepane back in the mid-90s. You might be familiar with it, you may not, but here's the words. All who sail the sea of faith find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. Suddenly fear is like white water, pounding on the soul. Still we sail on knowing that a Lord is in control. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered, "Peace be still." He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and let the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. He has a reason for each trial that we pass through in life. And though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold the faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered, "Peace be still." He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. If you're not in a storm currently, in our day and age, know that a storm might come. And when that storm does come, hear these words: "It is I. Do not be afraid." You may be thinking, "Oh, I'm strong," and you are. But the enemy tries to get at our soul. And in those moments, trust in the Lord. Do as Jesus tells you. The disciples got into the boat and then went to the other side, just like Jesus was telling them to do. Battle against the storm. If you're not sure what else to do, just keep rowing. Keep getting in God's Word. Keep coming to church. Keep going to that Bible study. Even when you're super frustrated, stay in the boat. Don't be frightened. And if you're within the sound of my voice today and you need to hear these words, hear them from Jesus. "It is I. Do not be afraid." Would you stand with me, please? Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? I believe God's presence is here today. And if you're one that you just need to come to the altar today and there's a storm you're going through, you can feel free to come to the altar. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the miraculous working of you walking on the water. Some of us in this room hardly can swim. We can't even imagine being on top of the water. And the water you walked on wasn't just some little quiet and peaceful place. It was raging. The disciples were scared. And you came and you ministered to their souls. You came and ministered to their physical bodies. You came and ministered and brought them peace of mind. God, I pray for somebody that's involved in a storm right now. Seems like the wind is pretty rough. The waves are deafening. They feel like they're being capsized. I just pray, God, that you would raise somebody up this morning and allow them to know that you are with them in the boat and you say, "It is I. Be not afraid." God, if there's somebody here this morning who's never invited you into their boat, and there's a bunch of turmoil in their life that they can't do anything with, that they need help from you. And so, God, may they come to you as Savior and Lord right now. And then, God, there are several people in this room that are not in a storm whatsoever. It's pretty grand. But they have somebody around them that's in a huge storm. Would you help them to see beyond themselves this week? Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe every day. Contact that person and allow them to know that your presence is there for them as well. God, we need your strength today, and we need your power. And so, God, I pray that you would go before each man and each woman, each boy and each girl, and everything that they do this week, may it be in step with you, and may you do a mighty work. Thank you for your love. Thank you for walking on the water to us each and every day. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.